Hi there, friends and family of the House of Jacob Yisrael. Welcome to Brother Hebert Presents. This is a study on the Day of Atonement. This paper is found in the calendar menu at www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com.
Click the drop-down arrow to open the menu.
John the Immerser was preaching in those days in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the reign of the heavens has come near." Then came Yeshua from Galilee, and was immersed by John. When Yeshua had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was tempted by the devil. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, "It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim." Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled you, and suffered you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your forefathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. Then saith Yeshua unto him, "Depart, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and, behold, divine messengers came and ministered unto him. There are 7 feast days. The Day of Atonement is the 6th of 7. The Day of Atonement is part of the Fall Holy Days. All 7 of the feast days reveals the plan of Yahweh the Father, the sacrifice of His Son Yeshua Christ, and the redemption of the children of Yisrael, the flesh and blood household of the covenants and promises, and these feast days are reminders of our family history. The 7 feast days are Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf, and Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, followed by the Last Great Day. The Gospel message can be found in every feast day. The Gospel message is the message of the Good News, the news of our Savior, and that He died for our sins.
Yay!
But it doesn't stop there. It's the good news of regathering and reconciliation, education and teaching. When the gospel is preached, its message is to the children of Israel, because every one of these feast days is part of the plan of reunification between scattered Israelites and Yahweh. Matthew 10:6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Yisrael." Passover is celebrated as a reminder that Yeshua died to pay the penalty of our sins during His first advent. His blood covers over our errors. The angel of death passed over the Israelites' houses that were covered with the blood of the Passover lamb. Romans 4:7, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which reminds us that we must put the sin out of our lives. John 5:14. Afterward, Yeshua found him in the temple, and said unto him, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you." It is a reminder that Yahweh took our ancestors out from bondage and idolatry in haste, gave them the law and the feast days to keep us walking in the way and in remembrance that He chose us. If we claim that we are covered by His blood, then we must sin no more. We must continue to obey the gospel, which is part of the commandments and connected to the feast days. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Yeshua will be returning with His Malachim, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Master, Yeshua Christ. 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Elohim. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Weeks, also called Wave Sheaf and Feast of First Fruits. It represents the resurrection of Yeshua Christ from the dead. It is symbolic of the first fruits of God's calling and begins the 50-day countdown to Pentecost, which means it's time to go out and witness to your kinsmen of their kinsman Redeemer. When one responds to this good news, then they are your presentation of first fruits, which can now receive the Holy Spirit, because the gospel is celebrated in Pentecost. When you do that which is right in the sight of Yahweh, you receive the Holy Spirit, which is promised to those who obey him. Acts 5:32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Trumpets, because the trumpet is a warning and a call to be prepared, for Yeshua is coming. Time to repent, for the reign of Yeshua is near. Ezekiel 33:7.
So you, O son of Adam, I have set to you a watchman unto the house of Yisrael. Therefore, you shall hear the word from my mouth, and warn them for me.
The gospel is celebrated in the Day of Atonement, which is a time to repent and to fast, which means to humble yourselves and deny food, water, and worldly things for the day. When one hears the gospel, is not repentance required in order to give yourself over to Christ? Matthew 4:17. From that time Yeshua began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The day of Yeshua's baptism was on the Day of Atonement on the Hebrew calendar. The gospel is celebrated in the Feast of Tabernacles, because when you have atoned and repented, you are now cleansed and can dwell in the safety of Christ. It is a reminder of when Yahweh dwelt among our Israelite ancestors in the wilderness in tents, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It is also symbolic that we will dwell in safety when he returns in flaming fire. Exodus 29:45.
And I will dwell among the children of Yisrael, and will be their Elohim.
Psalm 61:4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of your wings. Selah. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that, when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The gospel is also a reminder of the last great day of this Feast of Tabernacles, which represents the judgment day and end of this evil age, and the beginning of the kingdom age. Peter reminds us that true knowledge is the key. He states the importance of having scriptural knowledge and discerning it from corrupt worldly knowledge. Correct knowledge brings fruits of righteousness. Be a profitable servant with the knowledge Yahweh gives you. 2 Peter 1:11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Christ. James 2:5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not Elohim chosen the poor of this world rich in belief, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. These feast days are all over the Bible. They are the gospel message within the heritage and appointed days of our people, and reveals the plan of repentance, redemption, reconciliation, remembrance, obedience, and salvation. The gospel is a call to repentance, to putting away the old sinner and putting on the new, educated, obedient Christian, and to live according to the way, which includes all the commandments and appointed days given to our people. The gospel is a return to our identity and heritage, to our Christian way of lifestyle, and to our God. Paul and the apostles kept the feasts and taught to keep them. Acts 27:9. This is 59 AD. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because of the fast, referring to the Day of Atonement, was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Nevertheless, the churches believed their pastor and denomination more than those things which were spoken by Paul, the prophets, Christ, and Yahweh. Fast is G 3521, nastia, and means abstinence, specifically the fast of the Day of Atonement. We know this is referring to the Day of Atonement because it falls at the end of September, which was also the time when winter was approaching and sailing was dangerous. 2 Corinthians 6:4. But in all things, approving ourselves as servants of Elohim, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Fastings is G 3521, nastia, and means abstinence of food, specifically the fast of the Day of Atonement. Fasting for your health and for personal devotions and requests to Yahweh can be done any time and as often as you want. It's up to you. But fasting on the Day of Atonement is a commandment. 2 Corinthians 11:27. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the matters from outside, what comes upon me daily, the care for all the assemblies. Paul was persecuted for bringing the truth to his kinsmen. He fasted often with prayer for the assemblies. Paul most certainly observed the Day of Atonement. Christians kept the feast days and fasted on the Day of Atonement throughout history. In the 4th century, Epiphanius discusses Nazarene Christians who kept the holy days in various locations in his time, a practice which he considered heretical. Epiphanius of Salamis was bishop of Salamis, Cyprus, at the end of the 4th century. John Chrysostom, archbishop of Constantinople, 349 to 407 AD, commented that people who professed Christ in his area were also observing the Feast of Tabernacles, which he also considered heretical, as did St. Jerome in the 4th and 5th centuries. In spite of their biblical origin, the Catholic saint John Chrysostom preached against the fall holy days in 387 AD.
The festivals of the pitiful and miserable Judahites are soon to march upon us, one after the other, and in quick succession, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Tabernacles, the fasts.
Sabbath keepers in Transylvania in the 1500s, and probably later, kept the fall holy days, such as the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Trumpets, called the Day of Remembrance. The Sabbatarians viewed themselves as converted Gentiles because they believed the lie that the Jews are Israel. They held to the biblical holidays because of the law on their hearts and because they were Israelites that wrongly identified as trans-Gentiles.
Sabbatarianism in the 16th century, Andrews University Press, Berrien Springs, Missouri, 1993, pages 61 to 62.
Chapter 16 is about the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16:29.
And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls by fasting, and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country, or a stranger of kin that sojourns among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever.
Jeremiah 33:8.
And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me.
In the Old Testament, there was a sacrifice in addition to fasting. When Christ died, the priesthood and its sacrificial ordinances and rituals expired. We no longer have a mediator, the priests and sacrifices, between us and Yahweh. We must go directly through Christ, our high priest and mediator. This can only be done by obedience and allegiance, and with true knowledge and understanding. Today, we must make spiritual sacrifices, meaning we must sincerely offer our time, repentance, gratitude, brotherly love, and obedience. Afflict your souls is H6031, Anah, which means to humble one's self, bow down, submit. How do we do this?
By just believing?
No, by fasting. Notice, it states, a statute forever. Leviticus 23:31 states,
throughout your generations, in all your dwellings.
If you are a white Adamic Israelite, then this command applies to you. A statute is H2708, kukah, meaning appointed, custom, manner, ordinance, something prescribed. Forever is H5769, olam, olam, and means eternity, always, lasting, perpetual, continuous, indefinite or unending. The churches and denominational so-called Christianity all identify as trans-Gentiles, worship a Jewish Jesus, and have their own gospel and their own paths to salvation. As a result, all our kinsmen in those churches have no idea who they are and whose they are. Hence, lost sheep. They have no idea of their identity, heritage, duty, what Scripture teaches, or have a true relationship with God. They simply don't. They have a relationship with delusions. They have all been deceived. They are all pleasing the devil and his Jewish children. But that's what we are here for, to teach you who you are and whose you are, and what is required of you to please Yahweh Elohim and learn your true heritage and observe our traditions instead of the traditions of men, churches, Jews, and antichrists. The Day of Atonement, Leviticus 23:27.
Also, on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, the Day of Shelters. It shall be a holy convocation, a high Sabbath, a meeting of holiness unto you, and you shall afflict and humble your souls by fasting, and offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, and you shall do no work in that same day. For it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement, a reconciliation, propitiatory shelters for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted and humbled in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever, throughout your generations, in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Shabbat of rest, and you shall afflict your souls. In the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening unto evening, shall you celebrate your Shabbat.
The day does not begin at sunset. The day begins at sunrise. The fast begins the evening of the 9th and ends the evening of the 10th. No work is to be done during the daytime of the 10th while fasting. The Levitical priesthood and its rituals were fulfilled by Christ and are now expired. We do not sacrifice by fire anymore. Rather, we now make spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim by Yahshua Christ. This is done through repentance, studying and learning the truth, observing the set-apart days, and living according to the way, obedience and allegiance.
The 10th day of this month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to Yahweh by fire.
The Day of Atonement involves two different sacrifices. One goat is sacrificed for the people of Israel. The other goat is cast out into the wilderness. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to Yahweh and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as the scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. There are two interpretations of the ritual of the scapegoat. One, the scapegoat is Azazel, the fallen angel that corrupted Adamkind. The sins of Israel are placed upon this goat's head, and it is sent out into the wilderness to die. This interpretation symbolizes the death of the children of the Wicked One, the Edomites and Canaanites, who will be cast into outer darkness at the judgment day. The second interpretation is that it represents Yeshua Christ, who took away our sins at the stake, or cross. The place not inhabited would thus be heaven, which is a place not inhabited by men, but also the place where he waits until his return. Either way, the sins of Israel are entirely removed. Both interpretations make sense in terms of the events anticipated at the judgment day.
For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Shabbat of rest to you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statute forever.
This is the only day on which we are commanded to fast. The fasting represents our letting go of our own sins and of all connection with this evil world. Although our stomachs may grumble for want of food, representing our attachment to this world, we are to fast in cognizance of our spiritual being and ultimate redemption. Unlike the unconditional forgiveness granted at Passover, the cleansing of the Day of Atonement requires our conscious participation, with the people praying and fasting for themselves and for all Israel to release us from the bondage of this world. Being the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement mimics the 10th day of the 1st month, on which the people selected their sacrificial lambs for Passover. On the Day of Atonement, we select ourselves and sacrifice our old self for the ritual cleansing. This is the soul-searching of repentance in preparation for the judgment day. The correct word is propitiation, a covering over. The day of covering over, Yom Kippur, a propitiatory shelter. Genesis 2:17.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.
The tree of good and evil represents the world, sin, everything the devil offers. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life through Yeshua Christ, our Master. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We will all be judged for the life we've lived. That's why the sinless blood of Christ was shed to cover over our sins. That's why it's called the Passover. The angel of death passes over the propitiatory shelter of Christ's blood which covers over us. Psalm 79:8. O remember not against us former iniquities. Let your tender mercies speedily meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O Elohim of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for your name's sake. The Hebrew reads, and make you a propitiatory shelter over the sins of us on account of the name of you. Purge away is H3722, kafar, and means to cover, make reconciliation, expiate. The churches teach that the law was done away with, that we are dead to sin now because we are all under grace, are saved by our own declaration, and booked for the rapture. That we don't have to follow the food laws, observe the feast days, or do anything but just believe and have faith. The churches are covered by the propagandatory shelter of lies and have been purged of the truth on account of the name of Jewish Jesus. From Webster's 1828 Dictionary.
Atonement, a noun. Strong's number H3725, Kippur. Expiation, the act of atoning for a crime. Atonement, first definition. Agreement, concord. Reconciliation, after enmity or controversy.
Romans 5:11 has conciliation in the Greek. Atonement is used 81 times, all done by men. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Elohim commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were restored to favor to God by the death of his Son, much more, being restored to favor, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in Elohim through our Master Yeshua Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or by now we have received the conciliation.
Conciliate, a verb, to draw or bring together, to unite, to reconcile. Reconciliation, a noun, the act of reconciling parties at variance, renewal of friendship after disagreement or enmity. In Scripture, the means by which sinners are reconciled and brought into a state of favor with God after natural estrangement or enmity, the atonement or agreement, expiation or satisfaction, reconciliation for iniquity.
2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of Elohim, who has reconciled us to himself by Yeshua Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that Elohim was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Elohim did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to Elohim. G 2644, catalasso. A verb means to compound a difference, return to favor. G 2643, catalage, a noun, is an adjustment of a difference, a restoration to divine favor. 2 Corinthians 5:18 again, and all things are of God, who is drawing us to himself by Yeshua Christ, and has given to us the service of unification, that is, that God was in Christ, drawing the society unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of unification. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you united to God. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it obliged him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful, compassionate, lovingly committed, and faithful and trustworthy high priest in things pertaining to Elohim, to make reconciliation, or to make a propitiatory shelter for the sins and failures of the people. G 2433, hilaskomahi, a verb, is to be propitious, be merciful, to expiate. Atonement is something we bring for breaking the law. Christ did not break any law. He reconciled us by propitiation, a covering over, the act of appeasing, in our case, eternal death, something we deserve. That is why he is our high priest. Atonement, H 3725, is used 8 times. 5 times are verses showing that the atonement is something we bring as a sin offering, which, back then, were a goat, a ram, money, blood of the sin offering, or a bullock. The other 3 times are about the Day of Atonement, in which we are the atonement, our obedience, our day we afflict ourselves, humble ourselves, and fast and refrain from worldly stuff. It's our sincerity and effort he is looking at, to see if we can satisfy the agreement of walking in the way, in order that we can be blessed and recognized as his children. His sacrifice covers over our sins, as long as we abide in the way.
Atonement, Definition 2. Expiation, satisfaction or reparation made by giving an equivalent for an injury, or by doing or suffering that which is received in satisfaction for an offense or injury. Expiation, a noun, the act of atoning for a crime, the act of making satisfaction for an offense by which the guilt is done away, and the obligation of the offended person to punish the crime is canceled. Atonement, satisfaction, the means by which atonement for crimes is made. In theology, the expiation of sin made by the obedience and personal sufferings of Christ. Reparation, a noun, the act of repairing, restoration to soundness or a good state, as the reparation of a bridge or of a highway. Supply of what is wasted, as the reparation of decaying health or strength after disease or exhaustion. Amends, indemnification for loss or damage. A loss may be too great for reparation. Amends, satisfaction for injury. Indemnification, the act of indemnifying, saving harmless, or securing against loss, damage, or penalty. Security against loss. Reimbursement of loss, damage, or penalty.
Leviticus 9:7. And Moshe said unto Aharon, Go unto the altar, and offer your sin offering, and your burnt offering, and make an atonement, or, and make a propitiatory shelter for yourself, and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make a propitiatory shelter for them, as Yahweh commanded. When Aaron offered the sin offering for himself, then he was cleared to offer for the children of Israel. After Aharon and his sons followed the instructions of Yahweh regarding the offerings, Yahweh consumed the sin offerings by fire, which means the offerings were accepted. This was done yearly. It was a temporary covering over, a temporary propitiatory shelter. If Christ sinned, he would not be able to cover over our sins. He could not be a propitiatory shelter for us. He would be just as guilty. He would have to make atonement for his sin first, and then for the people, just as the high priest had to do. Christ had no sin to atone for, no sin to make amends for, which is why he is our propitiatory shelter and able to cover over all our sins and for our whole mortal life, instead of only for that year.
Atone. To agree. To be in accordance. To accord. To stand as an equivalent. To make reparation, amends, or satisfaction for an offense or a crime, by which reconciliation is procured between the offended and offending parties, to atone for, to make compensation or amends.
The atonements before Christ were a temporary fix, a band-aid, something that you bring or offer for your mistake, error, and sin, which was brought to the priest, the mediator between you and God, to make the atonement for you. It was only good for that year. It only brings you back to neutral ground with Yahweh. Atonement is made by man and cannot pay the penalty of your sin. It's just a temporary solution. Man, priests, sacrifices, and offerings cannot overrule the penalty of death. Only Christ can. Propitiation. Propitiation is a noun. Strong's number G2435, hilasterion. An expiatory, lid, or mercy seat, hence a covering over. It's used three times, and all for Christ. The kapareth is the lid, the mercy seat, that covers the ark. When they performed the blood sacrifice and the priest sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat for himself and all of Israel, it would cover over their sins for that year.
Propitiation, the act of appeasing wrath and conciliating the favor of an offended person, the act of making propitious. Appease, a verb, to make quiet, to calm, to reduce to a state of peace, to still, to pacify, as to appease the tumult of the ocean or of the passions, to appease hunger or thirst. This word is of a general application to everything in a disturbed, ruffled, or agitated state. Appeasive, an adjective, having the power to appease, mitigating, quieting. Mitigating is softening, alleviating, tempering, moderating, abating.
Exodus 32:30. And it came to pass on the morrow, after the Levites slayed the golden calf worshippers, that Moshe said unto the people, the ones that were left alive, you have sinned, you have missed the mark, a great sin, blasphemy. And now I will go up unto Yahweh, peradventure I should make an atonement, or that I should make a propitiatory shelter for your sin. And Moshe returned unto Yahweh, and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Verses 30 and 31, sin comes from kata, meaning to miss the mark, to wander from the way. And a great sin comes from kata'a, a crime, an offense. Verse 32, yet now, if you will forgive their sin, or if you will lift up from upon them their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray you, out of your book which you have written. Sin, in verse 32, is from katata katoth, meaning condition of sin, or punishment for sin. Verse 33, and Yahweh said unto Moshe, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Yahweh tells him only the sinners will be punished, those that missed the mark of duty or forfeited themselves by sinning this great sin. Even the ignorant are held accountable for missing the mark of duty. That is why it's important to know who you are and whose you are and what your duty is. The churches do not teach any of this. They teach you how to forfeit yourself and be blotted out of his book.
Propitiation. In theology, the atonement or atoning sacrifice offered to God to assuage his wrath and render him propitious to sinners. Christ is the propitiation for the sins of men, a propitiatory shelter.
1 John 2:2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That is, the whole Adamic society. The world means the system, the society. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He is our appeaser, meaning we sin every day, so we need an appeaser every day. We won't be appeased if we don't know or understand him, and if we don't keep his commandments and do the things by which he might appease for us. Romans 3:25, whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation, a propitiatory shelter, through the faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. Only our past sins are forgiven at the cross. We must seek to walk in Christ's example always. 2 Peter 1:9, but he that lacks these things, knowledge, is blind, and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Sin still abounds, and we sin every day in some way. This is why Christ is our only mediator and high priest, our appeaser, our conciliator, our propitiatory shelter, and why we must repent daily and strive to walk in the way daily.
Propitiate, a verb, to conciliate, to appease one offended and render him favorable, to make propitious. Conciliate, a verb, to draw or bring together, to unite, to call. The primary sense of the root is to strain, stretch, drive or draw. To lead or draw to, by moral influence or power, to win or to gain, as the affections, favor, or goodwill, as politeness and hospitality conciliate affection, to reconcile or bring to a state of friendship as persons at variance. Conciliation, a noun, the act of winning or gaining, as esteem, favor, or affection, reconciliation.
What is favor? Grace. What is grace? Mercy. What is mercy? Loving commitment. What is loving commitment? Yahweh's promise and covenant with and to the seed of Abraham.
Propitious, an adjective, favorable, kind, applied to men. Disposed to be gracious or merciful, ready to forgive sins and bestow blessings, applied to God. Favorable, as a propitious season.
Merciful is G2436, Helios, an adjective, gracious, that is, in averting some calamity, be it far, merciful. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful, or for I will be a propitiatory shelter to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, renewed, he has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away.
G 854, aphanismos, abrogate, repeal, conceal, obscure, to dim.
The first covenant was abrogated and renewed. Renewed because the priesthood and its ritual oblations were not needed anymore because Christ fulfilled them. The covenant is with the children of Israel. The law was given only to Israel, and the penalty of death was abrogated by the sacrifice of Christ. The calamity of eternal death was helios, meaning averted, covered over by the blood of Messiah, if we repent, obey, and follow him and walk in the way. Christ Yeshua is the propitiatory shelter and path of mercy for us from the penalty of sin. G 2433, hilaskomahi, a verb, to be gracious, merciful, expiate, conciliate, appease. Luke 18:13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Elohim, be you a propitiatory shelter to me, a sinner. The tax collector knew he was a sinner, and knew that God was his shelter from the penalty of his sins. He also knew that he wasn't perfect or saved yet, and continued to ask God for forgiveness and mercy, and for Yahweh to be his propitiatory shelter. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to Elohim, to make reconciliation, to make a propitiatory shelter for the sins of the people. Propitiation is something only Yeshua Christ can do. It's his covering over of the penalty of sin, which is death. Christ overrules the law of the penalty of death. That's why it's called mercy. It's a propitiatory shelter from the penalty of death. Christ is your shelter from the wages of sin. Men and rituals cannot be a propitiation. There is you, the sinner, the offender, and there is God, the offended. When the law is broken, the penalty is death. Before Christ, the high priest made the atonement, or the agreement with God for the sinner. The priest reconciles you with God. The priest expiates or makes reparation or amends for the guilt or crime by performing the offering which you bring to make amends and atone for you, the sinner. This only counted for that year. It was a temporary covering over. After Christ died, you make an atonement or agreement with God by following his instructions. Yeshua reconciles you with God. Yeshua is not your atonement. Your obedience is your atonement. Yeshua is your propitiation, your propitiatory shelter. Yeshua is the covering over of the penalty of sin. Only He can do that, and it's forever. This is all related to the days of rest Yahweh gave us, the weekly Shabbats, the yearly Shabbats, the land Shabbats, and the Jubilee year. Yahweh wants us to rest one day a week. Yahweh wants us to rest from work and worldly things, food and water, once a year, and humble ourselves by fasting on the Day of Atonement. Yahweh wants us to give the land a rest every seventh year, and Yahweh wants us to give our kinsmen rest by releasing all debts and returning every man unto his possession and family every 49 years. Leviticus 25:8.
And you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years unto you, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then shall you cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, the Day of the Shelters, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land.
The Jubilee starts on the Day of Atonement in the 49th year and lasts until the Day of Atonement the following year. The 50th Yobel year is symbolic. This Yobel year would be within the 49th and 50th year because it starts in the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. The next Jubilee year would be within the 98th and 99th year. And the next one would be the 147th and 148th, etc. Yahweh's appointed days are for a reason. They are days for you to rest, for you to humble yourself, for you to show your obedience by observing them, and they are for you to be released from debts, bondage, and loss. Numbers 29:7.
And you shall have on the 10th day of this 7th month a holy convocation, and you shall afflict your souls by fasting. You shall not do any work therein.
The churches do not support these feast days. They teach that the Old Testament was a Jewish book, and we are all saved by grace in the New Testament, that these feasts do not pertain to us. What they do not understand or care about is that the Jews are not Israel. They are descendants of Cain and of Esau. They also teach that we are Gentiles. Only lies come from the pulpit. When you have true knowledge and believe everything in the original scriptures, you will understand that we are true Israel, and these feasts do pertain to us. It is our heritage and history. We are the true sons of Jacob and the children of the Most High. Insincere fasting. Isaiah 58:1.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their Elohim. They asked of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to Elohim, saying,
Why have we fasted, and you regard not? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you did not know it?
Nay, in the days of your fasts you find your pleasures, and all them that are under your power you wound. If you fast for quarrels and strifes, and smite the lowly with your fists, as if you are pious, wherefore do you fast to me, as you do this day, so that your voice may be heard in crying?
As if their fasts, while they were in captivity, were sincere.
Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to Yahweh? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh?
Yahweh is mocking the Israelites in Babylonian captivity because they are just going through the motions without sincerity. Yahweh wants us to love and help our brethren. When we fast, it must be sincere. We cannot fast and then resume our oppression over our brethren. The purpose is to have you understand this fast, its meaning, and to sincerely observe it. The point is to humble yourself, to refrain from worldly desires, and to get back to living the true Christian lifestyle according to the way. Verse 13.
If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in Yahweh, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the land, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it.
Deuteronomy 21:8. Be merciful, or pardon. Be you a propitiatory shelter, O Yahweh, unto your people Yisrael, whom you have redeemed. And lay not innocent blood unto your people of Yisrael's charge, and the blood shall be pardoned them. So shall you put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when you shall do that which is right in the sight of Yahweh. Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O you nations, his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be a propitiatory shelter unto his land, to his people. Merciful is H 37:22, kafar, and means to cover over, hence to be a propitiatory shelter. H 37:27 is kaporeth, and its related word is kafar. It is the mercy seat, the sacred lid that covered the Ark of the Covenant, which housed the law. See how this all connects? Follow his laws, be covered by his blood. Observe his feast days, abide under his propitiatory shelter. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to Yahweh, and he that unjustly strikes his hand with hand shall not be held guiltless. By loving commitment and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of Yahweh, men depart from evil. The Hebrew reads, in kindness and faithfulness he shall be made a propitiatory shelter. Tobit 12:9, for alms does deliver from death, and shall purge away, or cover over, all sin. Those that exercise alms and righteousness shall be filled with life. How do you exercise alms and righteousness? By just believing? No. By deeds, by doing, by exercising Yahweh's commandments and observing his appointed days, by humbling yourself and fasting on the Day of Atonement. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those who do not observe the feast days of Yahweh and do not fast on the Day of Atonement are foolish. Yahweh is very gracious to have given us free will and to wink at all our days living in this satanic world. He wants us to come up out of her, my people, and live according to the Spirit and the way every day, which is why he provided us a path to salvation and deliverance from this satanic society through his son Yeshua Christ, and reminds us of these things through these feast days and the gospel. He only demands that we give him one day when we afflict ourselves and deny this world and the desires and needs of our flesh. Is that too much to ask?
No!
It's also interesting, in the female gestation cycle, the baby in the womb begins to make its own blood on day 190, which is the Day of Atonement. How do you afflict yourself now that you realize that the Day of Atonement is an appointed observance for the anointed people of Yahweh Elohim to keep in memory, observe, and guard throughout all our generations, and is a statute forever? First, you must know what day the Day of Atonement is on. Learn what day it's on according to the Hebrew solar calendar.
Links are provided on the paper.
The Day of Atonement is a day of fasting from food and worldly things, like TV, shopping, working, fleshly desires, etc., and humbling yourself, meaning afflict yourself from these things. You can't bring a goat to the priest for an atonement to cover your sins anymore. You must sacrifice yourself spiritually to Yeshua Christ, meaning, repent, ask for forgiveness from all your errors, ask for knowledge and understanding, and start following the way. Sacrifice the old you and put on the new man or woman. Now you are ready to fast.
You should stop eating after lunch, the evening before the Day of Atonement.
Sure. You can eat a snack before sunset, but try not to eat a few hours before the sun sets. The idea is to go 24 hours on an empty stomach.
This is why the fast begins the evening before and goes into the evening of the Day of Atonement.
Your next meal should be dinner at sundown
on the Day of Atonement.
It would be best to have it prepared the day before you fast, so all you have to do is heat it up, or just eat it up. It's best to observe the Day of Atonement at home and take it easy.
No servile work is to be done.
You should not watch TV or play on your iPhone. You should be mindful that the idea is to afflict your soul, your fleshly desires, and trust in Yahweh to help you through it. Be mindful that you do whatever you want for 364 days a year, so you can give Yahweh at least one day. You can fellowship with others, and even have like-minded friends and family join, read scripture, pray, and praise Yahweh. Fasting is not only physically beneficial, but it's also spiritually uplifting and satisfying. If you sincerely and fully observe it, and focus on becoming a better Christian during it, you'll see. Now you are ready for Christ to tabernacle with you for the Feast of Tabernacles, which is connected to the Day of Atonement, which is connected to the Feast of Trumpets, which is connected to Pentecost, which is connected to the Feast of Weeks, which is connected to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is connected to Passover. This Day of Atonement study is also part of the Feast Days study series.
The links are provided on the paper.
Humble thyself in the sight of